Do you know that Jesus' name is above every name in this earth realm, in this world, in the galaxy, in the universe? It's infinite. It carries authority. If you're watching us from home, I don't even care if you're a believer or not, you can use the name of Jesus. And I bet if you use it for your situation, you might find something happen. Then you might believe, because it carries authority no matter who speaks it. That's how powerful it is. Well, I'm excited about Tuesday nights. It's very energized in here, and the Holy Spirit is here. And I think we're on the right track with our Tuesday nights. I really do. I love that song. I've kind of tweaked our worship because I noticed something for the last year. When we sing about God, there's a level of anointing, but when you sing to Him, there's absolute anointing that comes into place. Because when you're worshiping directly to God, God just shows up. You know, He loves that. He loves attention. He wants your attention. That's all He wants for you. That one, let me see if I can find it. I saw in the second song, it said, you never wanted perfection, you just wanted my heart. Now, a lot of us think, oh, we got to be this way. And when I get my act together, when I get off drugs, when I get off alcohol, when I stop being sex addict, when I stop lying, then Jesus will accept me. No, He wants the big mess that you are right now. Right? Amen. So, what are we talking about tonight? We are going to talk about going through the storms. So right now there's a lot of storms in the earth, and people are in fear, and you don't need to know how to go through a storm. And so our scripture for tonight is Acts 27, and it's the story about the Apostle Paul when he was on his way to Rome to see Caesar to give an account. He had to, he was a prisoner, basically. So Paul had no choice in the storm. He was arrested in chains. And sometimes right now, especially what's going on on earth, we feel like I didn't sign up for this. Wait a minute. This isn't what I signed up for. I have no control. What's going on? We have ultimate control in with Jesus. But what I want to talk about, first of all, is Acts 27. It's a long reading, but I want to stop at certain points because I want you to get this. Because we're going through a storm. We're going to go through a storm. But we're going to come out on the other side, and even if we have more abundance than we had when we went into the storm. Okay, so this is the world right now. Coronavirus, fear, economy, it's going all over the place, and they're dying, and oh my God, what are we going to do, God? And God's sitting on the throne saying, I gave you all authority. I'm sitting on the throne interceding for you. What are you going to do about it? We're all waiting for God to do something about it. But we're His vessels on earth, and we need to do something about it. So let's get into Acts 27, verse 1. So when it was decided that we would sail for Italy, this is Paul talking, and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Augustan regiment. We boarded a ship about to sail for ports along the coast of Asia, and we put out to sea. These words are going to be hard for me. Archias and a Macedonian from Thessalonica was with us. So there were some other prisoners and people with Paul on the trip. The next day came, we landed in Sidon, and Julius treated Paul with consideration. What does that mean? He treated Paul with favor. He already started to get favor. God already, in the storm, you're going to get favor. If you're seeking God during the storm, you're going to get favor. And so Julius treated Paul with consideration, allowing him to visit his friends and receive their care. So, you know, being a prisoner back then was pretty nasty. Our prisons probably looked like country clubs. You were in chains, you were bleeding, you were dirty, and you smelled, and they were allowed to care for him because he was a respected man, and these other prisoners and people were cleaning him up. After putting out from there, we sailed to the Lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra and Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. After sailing slowly for many days, we arrived off Cnidus. When the wind impeded us, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salamone. I'm doing my best, guys. After we had moved along the coast with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lasia. By now, much time had passed. So he's on the boat, he's going down, and he smells and people are helping him, but it's pretty, you know, storms aren't fun. There's a lot of stuff going on around us in the storm. And the voyage had become dangerous because it was after the fast. So Paul advised them, okay, here comes the word of the Lord. So in the storm comes the word of the Lord to you. God will speak. If you're seeing God in the storm, God will speak to you and give you direction. He will create a way, sometimes of escape, or a way to go through the storm safely. It says, men, this is what Paul's so bold. Men, I see, prophetically, I'm seeing that our voyage will be filled with disaster and great loss. Not only the ship and cargo, but to our own lives as well. And what does the people do? What do the people usually do? But contrary to Paul's advice, the centurion was persuaded by the pilot and the owner of the ship, money, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter, and the majority of them decided to sail. So based on their circumstances, they decided that they were wise in their own way, and we're just going to ignore God's warning that Paul gave them. And that sometimes happens. But remember, you're still in the storm, and you're still being provided for, and you're still getting compassionate care, and now God's giving you words, and you're a prisoner prophesying to the leaders of the ship. When the gentle south wind came to blow, they thought they had their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along, hugging the coast of Crete. But it was not long before the cyclone called the nor'easter swept through and across the island. Unable to head into the wind, the ship was caught up, so we gave way and let ourselves be driven along. So this Paul warned them, don't go, and it's already starting to have problems. Passing to the lee of a small island called Cauda, I think, we barely managed to secure the lifeboat. After hoisting it up, the crew used ropes to undergird the ship, and fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Citrus, they lowered the sea anchor and were driven. So they're in bad shape. They're trying to gird the ship. The ship's going along. The anchor is being drugged. It don't look good, you know, in this world right now, don't look good. But Paul is still there. God's still speaking to him, and he's still receiving compassion. And then it gets worse. We were tossed so violently that the next day the men began to jettison the cargo. So what Paul said originally, you're going to lose your ship, you're going to lose your cargo, better listen to God. So it was so violent that they had to jettison the cargo. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle, okay, that's where you receive your food from, the sea, overboard with their own hands. When the sun, no stars appeared for many nights, meaning it was stormy, a great storm continued to batter us. We were abandoning all hope of being saved. Don't look too good. Sometimes we go through the storm, it's like, can't see the stars, can't see the heavens. Everyone's saying we're going to die. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have followed my advice, or God's advice, not to sail from Crete. Then you have averted disaster and loss, but now I urge you to keep your courage, because you will not experience any loss of life. So even when we're disobedient, which we all can be, God always has another plan. And although they're going to lose their ship, their cargo, probably with valuables, gold, and everything else, they're going to keep their lives, which is far more precious. For just last night, an angel of God, everyone say Jesus, because that's who it was, who I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid. Everyone say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand before Caesar. And look, God has granted you the lives of all who are with you. Now, this is really interesting. He had a mission to complete. He had a destiny to fulfill. He needed to appear before Caesar. God will use you, even though you're going through the storms, will get you to where you need to be in your call. Now, if you're outside, playing around, not in communion with God, and not really serving and kind of out there, you can get in danger. Danger, danger, danger. You need to stay in your calling. You need to stay in your mission, because God will protect you and get you to where you need to be. It wasn't something fun. He had to go in front of Caesar and get judged. God says, no, you're going to get judged, and I'm going to get you through it, and you're going to live. But as we know, he gets to preach to Caesar, right? So there's more fruit down the road. The shipwreck. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 20 fathoms deep. Going a little farther, they took another set of soundings that read 15 fathoms. Fearing that they would run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daybreak. Meanwhile, the sailors attempted to escape from the ship, pretending to lower anchors from the bow. They're lowering the anchors to actually try to escape. They were just trying to get away, and you know the other sailors didn't want them running off because they couldn't navigate the ship. These guys are trying to take off. And remember, God promised that none of them would die. So, meanwhile, they attempted to escape the ship, pretending to lower the anchors. They let the lifeboat down into the sea, but Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, unless these men remain with the ship, you cannot be saved. They were dependent on the whole crew on the boat. So the soldiers cut the ropes, and the lifeboat was sent adrift, so those guys didn't get a run off. They'd probably been killed anyway because they weren't obeying. Right up to daybreak, Paul kept urging them to eat. They had been on a fast, and when he's talking about them, he's talking about the other Jewish unbelievers that were with them, because it was believed during this time was Day of Atonement, so they were fasting. That's why it talks about fasting, and there's a whole other sermon on that. But today is your 14th day in constant suspense or fasting without taking any food. So for your own preservation, I would urge you to eat something, because not a single of your head, single of a hair on your head will be lost. What's that saying? Don't worry, eat. Live your life during the storm. Don't go in the bunker when the coronavirus comes by. You know, above ground, doing your thing, using wise things and wise choices, believing in Jesus, keep moving forward. When daybreak came, they did not recognize the land, but they sided the bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground. And remember, God said, run the ship aground, you'll be saved. So they followed that. Cutting away the anchor, they left them in the sea, and they loosed the ropes that held the rudders. They then hoisted the foresail to the wind and made it for the beach. But the vessel struck a sandbar around the ground, which God said it would. The bow struck fast and would not move. The stern was being broken on by the pounding waves. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners, so none of them could swim from freedom. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, God's favor again, and thwarted their plan. He commanded those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to follow on planks on various parts of the ship. The ship's breaking up all over the place. In this way, everyone was brought to safety to land. See, it was messy. It was nasty. But they all made it to land, and they all lived because they followed God's direction. I put this up. Paul's ministry gift saved him and the other prisoners. We must exercise our spiritual authority in the storm. Be useful to God. Be useful. Remember what Jesus said about the tree when it didn't produce? So be burnt up and thrown into the ashes. You got to be worth, you know, you are worth something to God. God wants to use you, but you have to yield, right? You got to yield to God. Once we are safely ashore, we learn that the island was called Malta. And everyone knows Malta still exists today. The islanders showed us extraordinary kindness. So we went through the whole storm. Everything's a mess. Ah, I'm saved. God saved us. We, you know, part of the thing I forgot to mention, when they ate, they broke bread. They had communion on board in the middle of the storm and the things falling apart. And they still had communion. So the islanders showed them extraordinary kindness. They kindled a fire and welcomed all of them because it was rainy and cold. So they already started to treat their probably hypothermia. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks. And as he laid them on the fire, a viper, a poisonous snake, driven out of the heat, fastened itself to his hand. When the islanders saw it, the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, surely this man is a murderer. Because in those days, if something bad happened to you, you're a bad person. You did something bad. You know, he survived the ship, but God's, you know, they're thinking, no, God's still got to punish it. He's not getting away with it. The snake's going to get him. You know, I don't like snakes, personally. You know, this is what they say. Surely this man's a murderer. Although he was saved from the sea, justice has not been allowed to save him. But Paul shook off the creature. I can just see Paul in the fire. This goes back to his stuff. You know, it's just like, oh, he knew. He knew that God was with him. He knew he had to go see Caesar, so the snake's not going to kill me. You know, you all have destinies to fulfill. The coronavirus ain't going to kill you. You got to get that stuff done. God needs you. He's not going to, you know, the economy goes up and down. So what? God owns the cattle on the hill. God has all the gold. God can get money to you all kind of weird ways. Because this church wouldn't exist if money didn't come from a weird way that it did to make this church work. I know it works. But Paul shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The islanders were expecting him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. So they're probably watching, like, probably had a little alcohol, like, this sucker's done. Just wait. He's going down. He's in murder. See, our Tuesday night's wonderful. I'm very animated in the evening. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. So then they went straight to idolatry. He is a god. Nearby stood an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. So he was probably like the governor of the island or the king. He welcomed us and entertained us with hospitality for 3 days. The father of this man was sick in bed, suffering from a fever, and I think this is like dysentery. Paul went in to see him, and after praying and placing his hands on him, he healed the man. After this happened, the rest of the sick of the island came, and all were cured. So, first we started off on shipwreck. Everything's looking bad. Don't do that, God. You'll die. You'll lose the ship. Oh, no. We know better. Then, well, if you keep persisting, you keep moving forward, and we can do this, God will spare your life, but the ship's gone. Then we all have that. Then we get to the island, the snake tries to kill him, and then he becomes a god because he didn't die from the snake. Then he goes and heals the governor's, father. And then everyone in the whole Malta comes and gets healed. A whole ministry breaks out from a prisoner. And he's still a prisoner. He's still in chains. And it says, the islanders honored us in many ways and supplied our needs when we were still ready to sail. So until they got another ship, whatever they did, they had everything they needed. Right? They had everything they needed. Isn't that a good story? Now it goes on. Paul goes through all kinds of stuff. I mean, Paul went through all kinds of things. But did you know an interesting fact? They're talking about viruses and things and healing. Do you know that one apostle died of sickness or disease? Not one. None of them was feeble. They died of old age, some of them. Some were martyred. None of them died of sickness and disease. They had the power of God in them so much they didn't die of sickness and disease. So God gives us directions to survive the storm. So what do you do with all this? Okay? The media's blah, blah, this and that. So we follow common sense, and we say, okay, God, it seems like a storm's coming. We need to prepare. What we need to do, okay, I'm going to do those things. But what we need to do spiritually is pray. We need to commune with God. We need to ask God, what is the plan? What am I to do? How do we navigate this thing? And this can be used for any area of your life that you're going through something. You know, we all have storms. We may not be in, like, major storm, but maybe there's a storm over here in this part of my life. Everything's peaceful here. Like, God, what do I do? Did I just send across the storm? No. Maybe you did. I don't know. But you need to find that out. How do I get out of the storm? And God may say, okay, this is how you get out. Or, no, you need to go through the storm because it's going to produce character. On the other side, you're going to have all this fruit and people being healed, right? So you got to talk to God. How do you talk to God? You can talk to God in the toilet. I mean, you can. I talk to him in the shower. You all have a place where God talks to you. If you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, God is always talking to you. You're just, maybe you're not hearing because you're not listening. God will send people into your life that are not Christian. They could be just very odd people, and they may speak something into your life. And if you recognize of God and start to get a leading, God will take you to the next level and the next place you need to be. I've walked down the street, and I've had a homeless man yell something at me, and it was prophetic. I was like, oh. And usually I pay attention more to that than I do some highfalutin Christian, because usually their motives are a little weird. But the homeless guy don't know me. But he knew something about me that only God knew, right? So this time in the world where we are right now, it's imperative to hear the voice of the Lord and then follow the direction he gives you and use the name of Jesus, right? Who gives you peace that passes all understanding? Pass all understanding. You know, the world is looking for light. The world is looking for stability. The world is looking for a place to alleviate their fears. And that's you. Jesus isn't coming down on a white cloud to do it for you. He says, go into the world, right, and do these things. Preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick. Where, you know, people ask, why is there so many horrible things in the world? In the garden, humanity was given charge of the earth. So if things are bad in the earth, it's humankind that's let this happen. And part of being a person in the kingdom is restoring earth to its beauty that once was. Until Jesus returns. Is that good? Did I do good on time? 2 minutes to spare. Oh my gosh. Well, let's close in prayer. So, you know, Father, we just speak the name of Jesus over the situation going on in the world right now. It's a worldwide thing. Jesus' name is above coronavirus. It's so far above, you couldn't even compare them. It has ultimate authority over sickness and disease, from pestilence, from disaster, from fear and anxiety and heartache and fear of losing loved ones, fear of getting a sickness, fear because I'm immune suppressed. I'm afraid I'm going to get... Stop getting out of the fear. Get out of the, fear is the opposite of love, and God loves you and wants to protect you. God, there's a part of the world, I think it's in the psalm that says, you're my shield and rampart. You know what rampart means? A protective covering around you, a shield. Think of a force field around you, like Star Trek, right? Y'all have Star Trek? I do. A rampart is a shield around you. And Father, we just thank you for the shields around all our loved ones, all the people listening today, all the people online. We trust in you. We know you have plans for our life and a destiny for each of us. And we just thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.